KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 48 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 76. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. A monthly survey of business leaders suggests the economy will continue slowing in 9 Midwestern and Plains states because of weakness in agriculture and energy businesses. The overall economic index for the region declined to 45.5 in September from August's 47.8. Any score below 50 suggests the economy is weakening. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says energy and agriculture manufacturing is especially weak in the region. The survey results are compiled in a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Organizers say any score above 50 would suggest growth in that factor, but a score below that suggests decline. The survey covers Iowa and several other Midwestern states. The Creston Police Department says three people were arrested over the past few days. Two incidents of theft and one incident of vandalism was reported. On Saturday, 26-year-old Alex Cunningham of Creston was arrested at his home on a Union County warrant for a violation of probation on an original charge of OWI first offense. Cunningham was being held in the Union County jail on a $1,000 bond. That same day, 35-year-old John Morse of Afton was arrested on a charge of disorderly conduct. Morse was later released on $300 bond. And on Friday, 57-year-old Marlene Plossel of Creston was arrested for theft in the fifth degree. Plossel was released on a promise to appear later in court. Creston police said also a resident of the 500 block of West Montgomery Street reported on Friday someone stole several guns, ammo, pieces of jewelry, and other various antique items from his home following a break-in. A complete list of the items and their value was not available. On Saturday, a man residing in the 1000 block of West Adams Street in Creston told police someone stole two chainsaws from his home. The loss was estimated at $450. And on Sunday, a resident in the 800 block of North Cherry Street in Creston reported someone drove a vehicle onto his yard and damaged a wood railing leading up to the steps of his house. The damage was estimated at $150. Red Oak Police Chief Justin Ramey early Saturday morning posted a statement on the police department's social media page with regard to rumors about clowns harming people. The statement read, "The Red Oak Police Department has been receiving a massive amount of calls in regards to clowns being in and around Red Oak threatening to cause harm to people. There have been several social media posts," he said, "placed on SWAT pages in regards to a woman and her children being attacked on the square in Red Oak." The chief went on to say that as of midnight Saturday, the Red Oak Police Department had not responded to or even received any calls to service or incidents involving clowns and them attacking people. False statements, he said, have been placed on social media about arrests being made on the square with regard to clown attacks, and he said these statements are false. Ramey said also they apologize for whoever has taken it upon themselves to post those false allegations on social media, creating so much fear within the community. He said if you were to have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact the police department. A Christian college in Northwest Iowa is starting a new vocational program that will prepare students for work while giving them a foundation in their faith. Dort College President Eric Hoekstra told the Sioux City Journal the new two-year ProTech program will fill a gap in Christian education offerings in the area. The new program will enroll as many as 40 students next fall and offer them a combination of Christian education and vocational training. Hoekstra says he believes there's a need for such a program because the number of students graduating from Christian high schools who might want a two-year vocational degree but didn't have a Christian option. Iowa motorists are being reminded that harvest time is underway and drivers should be prepared to encounter combines and other large farm equipment on the road. Chuck Swab, a safety specialist with the Iowa State University Extension, says rear-end collisions are among the most common crashes involving farm machinery.
Motor vehicles go at much higher rate of speed than agricultural equipment, so you have this fast closing distance. And that means rear-end collisions are very prominent if you're not prepared to stop.
When attempting to pass farm machinery, Schwab urges motorists to be patient and make sure they know the farm equipment won't be turning left.
What you need to do is make sure that you're in line and know that they're not turning left. Watch for the signals, watch for the movement equipment before you make that pass.
In addition to roadway collisions, Schwab says the most common type of farm vehicle-related accidents involve rollovers with tractors, lawnmowers, and all-terrain vehicles. Well, the deadline is later this week to apply for what's billed as one of the country's most effective beginning farmer programs. Greg Vandenberghe with the Practical Farmers of Iowa says a dozen new farmers are accepted every fall into the Savings Incentive Program. One of the first steps, he says, is to pair them up with an experienced farm mentor and a peer network.
The beginning farmer kind of gives us the goals that they're looking for and what they're looking to accomplish and kind of expand within their farming operation and kind of grow within that. And then we look for a mentor within our network that fits that.
The new farmer is urged to sock away $100 a month for the duration of the two-year program, at the conclusion of which they'll double their saved money.
At the end of this program, they put that $2,400 away, and then we match that so they can go and buy a farm asset, a long-term asset that's going to add value to their farm. So it's really helping that beginning farmer get a little more of a leg up on maybe a land purchase or a vehicle for transportation or a tractor, something of that sort.
Another key element of the program is providing support for developing a business plan for the fledgling farmstead.
So we work together with them to give them feedback on when they're going out and showing this to lending institutions or people that are going to support them, even investors and so forth. They give them the direct feedback of what are you missing, what do they see that needs to be tweaked in that.
And he said since the program was first launched in 2009, more than 100 beginning farmers have taken part in the program with a collective $124,000 in matching funds. The deadline to apply is this Friday. Researchers at Grinnell College say they've found that using a copper mix for all types of metal materials in hospital rooms can cut down on dangerous bacteria. Shannon Hisna Leisure led the research that studied materials made with a copper alloy at the Grinnell Regional Medical Center.
What we found was that on average, copper surfaces had 98% fewer bacteria than control surfaces.
She said the use of copper to fight bacteria has been studied before, but they took it a step further.
What separates our study from some previous work that had been done in ICUs, we were looking in medical surgery suite rooms. So these are rooms where patients are up and moving around. So we looked at surfaces around the patient, but also in the bathrooms where they're in and out of the bathroom. So it was the first time to look at a lot of those things. We had copper alloy sinks, grab bars, and toilet flushes in the bathrooms that we were testing in this study.
Inza Leisure is an associate professor of biology at Grinnell, and she says they were also able to get a good comparison of rooms that were in use and those that weren't.
The unoccupied and the occupied control rooms had relatively the same number of bacteria. There was no significant difference between the number of bacteria. And the copper rooms had significantly fewer bacteria, with the unoccupied being even lower than the occupied rooms. So what this means is that even when you terminally clean a room, the number of bacteria build up in that room. So even though the room might look clean and ready for a patient, there's a lot of bacteria there. So the copper really helps maintain these terminal cleaning levels in vacant or empty rooms.
She says bacteria can lead to infections, and that can lead to more problems for patients and hospitals.
So if you consider that 1 in 25 patients could get a hospital-acquired infection, and roughly 10% of those patients died in 2011, they acquired a hospital-acquired infection. There's a dramatic cost, not only on the patients that get sick, but on the hospitals. Hospitals are now starting to get scored and not get as much money back if they're getting hospital-acquired infections.
Copper alloy material, she says, does cost more than other metal products, but she also says there's a savings in the long run.
If you look at the minimal increase in cost it is to put in a copper alloy, it pales in comparison to what you're saving, not only lives, but also money to keep hospitals running.
Inza Leisure says copper has the right properties to prevent the bacteria from thriving.
There have been some studies that have been done that show the mechanism of action. So it's the copper ions themselves that get into the cells, and they're able to damage DNA, cause some oxygen radicals, and really do a lot of damage to the cells.
And she says that hospitals should consider using the copper alloy material to cut infections, but she says they don't have to make every room in the hospital look like a penny.
We don't need copper everywhere, but we need it should be strategically placed in environments where people are immunocompromised. So especially if hospitals are looking at doing renovations or restructuring, this is the time to put it in. And also you might want to put it in some areas you already have in your hospital, your ICUs, and different areas in the hospital where it can be important.
Inza Leisure led the research team that included undergraduate students, Queenster Nartley and Justin Vavrka. They published their results in the American Journal of Infection Control. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.